Yeah.
Oh, I know you'll come through. This mountain is moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said you'll do it, because you got, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. Words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. You will make a way. You always make a way.
That should be everybody.
You will make a way.
Fear tomorrow. Great.
You're already in it. My whole future is already real.
That was the second verse. We just went right into it. Go ahead, beatbox.
Yeah.
I just threw that in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I know you'll come through. This mountain is moving.
Sang it like you wrote it.
I fix my eyes on you. If you said it, you'll do it. Because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. Words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. You will make a way. You always make a way.
It's bumps. You hit that. You hit the beat on the make.
You will make a way. You always make a way.
It's right there. It's my favorite part. All right, let's go back again.
Always make a way.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
Make a way. Always make a way. Yeah.
All right. Here you go.
I know you'll come through. Mountain is moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said it, you'll do it. Because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. You will make a way. You always make a way. You will make a way. You always make a way.
And I won't fear tomorrow, because you're already in. God, no matter the odds. you made us still have the final say. You will make a way. You always make a way.
Let it ring for one. You will make way. You just let it. Even the cymbals. Just be quiet. Just kind of let it rest, and then you come in. You do a drum fill in. You go
over to two.
Yeah.
doom, 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 God.
And then it goes 3-5.
Dum, 3-5.
So you will make a 2. Always 3-5. It's always 3-5. It only changes that one time to go to the 2 instead of the 4. Play the chorus, Wes. You will make a way. Ready? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You will make a... No, no.
It's early.
It's early. You will make a 4-3-5. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Nothing's too hard. Let's go from the bridge. It's too hard for big. Impossible, what you, and the last one, whoa, I know you got this too, impossible, what you do, and you will make a way, you always make a way, yeah. You will make a way. Otherwise, we'll be like 10 more minutes. Nope. All right, moving on. Yeah. Oh, oh, we're not doing that. No.
Let's trust in God, y'all. Let's trust in God. Moving on.
Let's trust. That's all we got. That's yes. All we got. Whew. All right. All right. Go to the next song for me, Shell. The next one. The last one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, crap.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Thank you.
I know that was mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
All right, let's go.
I trust in God.
Feel good, y'all.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my foreman in the fire. In his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God. My my Savior, the one who never fails. He will never fail again. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is rest. I know the author of tomorrow, Lord, in my stead. So this is my story, and this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. And I trust in God, oh my Savior, the one who will
Shallow.
Hello. Hello. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't he good? Won't he do it? Hello. Hello. Good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us as we worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. We give you praise this morning, Father God. I honor you this morning, Lord. Church, before we sing a note, I want you to give a shout out of praise. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Come on.
Here we go.
That praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety.
Come on.
Let it rise. Dark changes everything. We sing with all we are. We claim your victory.
Come on.
Let it rise. Let praise arise.
Come on, help.
We'll see you break down every wall.
We'll watch the giant fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. Will all creation cry, God, we praise you.
But it's Sunday morning and I can't hold back my praise. I can't hold back my hallelujahs. I can't hold back my thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy that endures forever. We worship you, Father God.
Sing. of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close like no other, and I've known you as a father.
Says in 2 Kings that the Israelite army were going to fight the Midianites and they ran out of water. So they got a word from God to dig some ditches, and he said, you won't see rain or wind, but when you wake up there'll be water there. And don't worry about that battle you're about to fight, you're going to win that too. That's a simple thing for God. They got two blessings in one, because we serve a God that can make a way where there is no way. Anybody serve a God like that? Where even that hard thing is a simple thing for him. That's why we worship him. Here we go.
I know you'll come through. This mountain is moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said it, you'll do it.
Yeah.
Because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the page, the promise you made us,
still have the final say. Help,
you will make a way.
When you're facing that impossible doctor's report,
that impossible financial situation, that impossible issue in your marriage, that impossible child who seems too far gone. This is what you prophesy. This is what you sing. This is what you speak. This is your faith in action. You shout out to God and you say and declare, He will make a way. He will make a way. Hallelujah. Come on and sing that out, church. Hey.
He will make a way.
We start to believe it. It raises up in our hearts.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love those words. I'm reminded of the account in the Bible where it talks about Caleb and Joshua. The children of Israel are on one side and they're in the wilderness. And then on the other side is the promised land. And that's what God, that's God's promises, that's His best, that's heaven on earth, that's everything you possibly need. But there were a bunch of people that were on this side in the wilderness, and they looked at the obstacles in between them and the promised land. Because when they looked up, they said, yes, it's a good land. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. Yes, the grapes are so big, they carried one, the two men had to carry one bunch. But there are walled cities and there are giants. We could never do that. We could never get to the way God has. We could never get the promises that God has made because we are looking at walled cities and obstacles. But there were two men that rose up in faith and they saw the same thing. They saw walled cities. It's not that they saw anything different. They saw giants, armies of giants, walled cities. They saw the same thing. The difference was that they had a trust in God, that if He had said there was a promise for them, that He would make a way to that promise. So as we stand, we're going to pray for whoever needs prayer this morning. And I want you to not be, you know, sometimes I think people sit down in the wilderness and they give up because it looks like they cannot get to the promised land. They cannot receive the answer to their prayer. And so they settle for what they have. All right, I'll just settle here. And if need be, I'll go back to Egypt where someone will feed me. But I want people who will rise up today. If you are facing, and we all face different things at different times, God promises one thing and you go, but it doesn't look like that in my life. And in fact, it looks impossible to get to. Impossible to get to. You don't know the problems I have, Pastor Jill. You don't know that I lost my job. You don't know that I don't have enough income. God has promised me a house, but you don't see the walls and the obstacles standing in my way. There's no, if you settle there, you'll never get the promise. And so God is calling us today. I want to stir up your faith, even those that are watching online. There's promises God's made you, and maybe you, because you haven't seen them happen, and you keep coming up a brick against a brick wall, you think maybe He doesn't want it for you. But let me tell you, everything in the Word of God is for you. But the only way you receive it is by faith. And we are willing to join our faith with you today. Every one of us that come up to pray for you, we are going to trust God to make a way through every obstacle to the promise that God has given you. And we don't settle until we get to the promise. Don't settle for a little bit of surgery and I'm better. Let's go for I'm completely healed. I'm strong. I'm healthier than I ever was before. Let's not settle where we are. So if there's anyone in this place today and you need prayer and you want us to join our faith with you, if you want to settle with partial promises, stay in your seat. But if you're facing difficulties and you want to get to the other side, come forward and we'll pray with you. Amen. Step forward if you want to be prayed for. And I want to pray right now over those that are watching online. I know there are people that are watching. I see somebody with a stomach ailment. You've had a stomach in your digestive system, in your intestines, a blockage that the doctors say they're going to have to surgically intervene. That's a report that you got this week. I want to tell you the word of the Lord to you today is that He will surgically remove that blockage today in the name of Jesus. So I release my faith right now, and I, Father, I release healing, the healing power of God to flow through that person's body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Do what the surgeons would like to try to do, but you are the great surgeon, and we thank you, Father, for complete healing. And we ask you to let us know. Give us your testimony. Give us your testimony. And Father, we pray for each and every person watching. We extend our faith to them. We believe with them that you make a way to the promise that God has given them. Satan, we take authority over you where you have brought them. You have brought other giants and more walled cities against them. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and we release the healing power of God. We release deliverance. We release freedom. We release finances in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, we're going to sing one more song. Michelle, come forward. We want to pray for you. Somebody else can do the words for her, I hope. Come on forward and we'll pray for you. Amen.
Tomorrow, Lord, in my stead.
Somebody's got an infection in their big toe. I cannot tell you how many times there's been a word of knowledge and somebody comes to me afterwards and says, that was me. Pray for me. Somebody's got an infection in their big toe. Somebody else has had an issue with their elbow, an issue with a dislocated or a pain in their elbow. The healing power of God to flow into her body right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Not one more day of pain. Not one more issue with these toes. In Jesus' name, I release the healing power of God to flow into her body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody with their elbow, shooting pain up your elbow. Maybe you don't know the cause of it. Shooting pain up your elbow. Couple of minutes. Someone else that's been asking the Lord, they have a job interview lined up for this week. And the Lord says, don't take one thought because it's already been settled in your favor. It's already been settled in your favor. Maybe that's you watching online. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we love you. We welcome you. We love your presence. Move amongst us as you will. You are the life of the church. You've been sent to the church to bless us. You've been sent to the church to benefit us, to build us up, to strengthen us. Father, I thank you for supernatural strength that starts to rise in the hearts of your children today. I speak to discouragement. I speak to discouragement. I command it to lift off of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for renewed courage that just flows right into their hearts right now. Strength that makes them stand up straighter. Father, look to the future with hope in Jesus' name. Some that have had there's a dark cloud of depression that people have had. There's a couple of people in this room, and you've had a dark cloud of depression hanging over you. I speak to that depression right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, come off of them. Come off of them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I speak to digestion issues. If you have a digestion issue, put your hand on your belly. I command the digestive systems to work in line with the way that God created them. In Jesus' name, healing flow right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Family, you do know that as a body of believers, when we gather in church, we gather to meet with the Lord. We gather to worship Him, but we come to listen to Him. We come to receive from Him. It's not just it's not a check. It's not to check church off your list. Somebody was telling me, they said, you know, they go to church and they said they take their dog with them, because the service is so short that they can leave the dog in the car with the AC and the music on, because they in and out within an hour, no fail. And I'm like, how can we ever limit God to that degree? We've got to check our hearts. If we ache itching to get out of the house of God when we get in one time a week. Amen. I'm speaking to the converted. The ones itching are sitting in riding their bicycle, or sitting in a diner having breakfast, or lying in bed. We're in the house of God. Amen. Turn and greet someone. Say, I'm so glad you're in church today. Let me say that right from the beginning. Welcome to Ascend Church. Mark Ballou, who so blesses us by working on our YouTube channel, and give him a hand. You don't know the amount of work that he puts in for our YouTube channel. He's always thinking of the church all week long. He's like Google and YouTube and everything that we need. And so what he did is he enabled our church to have, we're on YouVersion Bible app. Anybody got the YouVersion Bible app on their phone? Okay, so come on, if you don't have it, you should have it. It's an app, YouVersion. It's the Bible on an app. And then what you do is, once you join the YouVersion, you look for your local church and you'll find Ascend Church and join that. And then, so we're on there as of this week. So now pay attention. Join YouVersion. Add YouVersion to your phone. It is. 500 million people. Do you know that Craig Rochelle from Life Church, they developed that? And they could have charged $1 for a download, and they chose to do it for free. And they've had how many? 500 million downloads of that YouVersion Bible app. Isn't that a blessing to the world? Amen. Praise God. Well, so good to see you in church this morning. I'm glad you're here. I don't see any new visitors this morning, but we're glad that you're here. We're going to pass our register by. We ask if you'll just let us know that you were here. We've got a slightly different seating arrangement. I hope you like it. We were talking about it because Richard was saying to us that sometimes sitting in the middle of such a long row, if you want to come up for prayer or anything, it's very difficult to get past 15 people on the left of you or right of you, and so people don't do it. He was one of them who said, I called out a word of knowledge, and he's like, I didn't come forward. I'm like, well, your loss. Anyway, good to see you in church this morning. I'm looking forward to the message God's going to speak to us today. I hope you're ready for that. And I want to welcome everyone that's watching. We're so glad you joined us. People watch us from all over the world on YouTube, Ascend Church YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to that, subscribe to that. And then on Facebook Live, welcome to you. Let us know where you're watching from. People watch from all different countries, from all this area. If you're an Ascend Church member, I'm glad you're watching this morning. We miss you when you're not here in person. And we hope that we'll see you soon. If you live in the area, come visit us. We're much better in person than we are online. Amen. Praise God. And you can also watch on our mobile app, which is wonderful. There's all these archived messages that you can watch. You can share them. You can send them to somebody. If you think that word was for so-and-so, they really need to hear that, they're going through something, go ahead and share it. It's a way to minister to people. Sometimes you don't have the words to say, but you send them a message and it ministers to them. Amen. I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. I hope you know them by now. First one is that we want you to know God. When I read through the epistles where Paul and others were writing to the church, they're always trying to explain more about the revelation of what God's done for us. That's what we're supposed to be digging deeper into, what God has done for us. Amen. And secondly, that you would find freedom in every area of your life. We believe God sets us free. Thirdly, that you discover your purpose. And lastly, that you make a difference with your life. Amen. Praise God.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. I want us to pray. Someone is watching our service online. Her name is Chrysa Lynn. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. She asked us to pray for her husband. They're in Colorado. Her husband's in hospital right now. And so let's just do that. Father, we pray for Chrysa's husband who's in hospital right now. I thank you, Lord. There's no distance in prayer. You are with him right there in Colorado. Lord, let your healing power flow through his body. I pray that you would restore him in his mind. You would restore his health. Father, I pray you just do a miracle in his life. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your anointing, your power that is flowing through his body. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come to church today. And I want to encourage you to please invite somebody. How many of you, we're trusting the Lord. How many of you will agree with me? We believe in God to see this place filled up. Whether it's, I don't care if it's summertime, wintertime, springtime, autumn time, there's, you know, whatever time it is. How many of you know it's a good time? Let's see, why don't we as a church grow in the summertime? Why not grow in the summertime? Amen. Look at an empty seat next to you and say, I'm bringing someone to fill this seat. That I'm bringing someone who's going to fill this seat. Because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through you. If angels could preach the gospel, the entire world would be saved already. Because angels would do the job. But God never called angels to share the gospel. Angels always would direct someone to somebody. The angel came to Cornelius and said, call for Simon Peter. He'll tell you words so that you can be saved. The angel could have just preached to him and got him saved, but he uses people. And so if this place is going to be filled up, it's going to happen through you and through me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just pray one more time. I want to get right into the Word of God this morning. So appreciate having a wife who flows with the Holy Spirit and hears from God. And you know, we when she calls out a word like that, I mean, you can take it to the bank because the Lord showed that to her. And if God revealed it to her, it's because He's already done it. You just got to receive it. But you have to receive it. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome You to have Your way in this place, in our life, in our hearts, in our minds. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will anoint Your word spoken today and that You will cause Your word to find a resting place in every heart, that You will cause our faith to grow and rise up big, to believe You, Father, for miracles, for the impossible, because You are the God of miracles. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God who does the impossible. There's nothing that's too hard for You. I thank You, Father, today for inspiring us today. I thank You, Lord, for giving us revelation today, understanding of Your word, Lord, that Your word comes alive to us. And we give You all the praise for everything that will happen. I thank You, Lord, that You are bringing financial breakthroughs into people's lives. I thank You that You're doing financial miracles in people's lives. And we give You all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, to this morning, I want to continue. Well, actually, I'm going to conclude. This is going to be the final part in the series that we've been talking about called The Covenant of Prosperity. This is part number 5, and our text scripture that we've based the series on is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 10. And it says, "My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." Now, that's talking about the old covenant. God said that covenant was the covenant of blessing, and He said that He would never break it. Now, today, we have a new covenant, and the Bible says we have a better covenant with better promises. And I can tell you that the covenant we have is a covenant of blessing. And what that means is when you receive Jesus into your heart, into your life, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, when you surrender your life to Jesus, then you receive His life and you become joined to the Lord. You become one with the Lord. And God becomes your partner. He becomes your partner and your helper. And He helps you to prosper. He gives you favor. He opens doors. He gives you wisdom. He gives you direction. God is here with you to help you. He's partnering with you to prosper you. We have a covenant of blessing. Amen. And we've spoken about it so much that I can't go over it again. I mean, we've, you know, spoken how God wants to prosper you. We looked how God prospered men and women throughout the Old Testament. We saw that a covenant is two-sided, that God has given His all, but we have to surrender our life and make Jesus the Lord of our life if we really want to walk in the blessings of the covenant. We spoke about how we've got to use our faith to believe God to prosper us. And then we spoke about the last time how that, you know, we've got to have the right attitude, the right perspective. The Bible says don't love money. It says love God. Love and seek God, and then money and things will be added to you. God's got no problem with you being prosperous, wealthy, having possessions. He just wants to make sure that our heart is for Him. And that's why there's so many warnings in the New Testament warning us not to trust in money, not to love money, not to put anything above the Lord. But when you get your priorities right, and then let me tell you, God is going to pour out those blessings on you. Now, today, I want to wrap this up by talking about part number 5, God will multiply. Say, God will multiply. He's a God of multiplication. And you may have wished, man, I wish God could multiply my money, Pastor Steve. Well, let me tell you, He can. He can. I want to start out with this account in 1 Kings chapter 17. And as you hear the word of God this morning, I encourage you to always listen like you never heard it before. Because if you listen like, well, I heard that, I read that. Listen, I've read scriptures 100 times, and then the 101 time I read it, all of a sudden, I saw something I never saw before. But if you sit here like, well, I know that, you can miss what God wants to say to you. In 1 Kings 17, verse 1, it says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Elijah said, listen, there's going to be no rain because the king of Israel, Ahab, was a wicked king. He wasn't following the Lord. And so God said, Elijah, go tell him there's going to be no rain because he's not doing what I want him to do. And so there was a famine because when there's no rain, the crops don't grow, the crops die, and you end up with a famine. A famine, I looked it up. The dictionary says a famine is an extreme scarcity of food or a great shortage. Now, the good news, what I want to tell you, is that God can provide for you and God can prosper you even during a time of famine. Even when the conditions in the world around you are not good, and maybe there's a great shortage, and maybe there's even a famine, God can still provide for you. God can still prosper you. I want you to see that when you get on God's financial system, that you're not dependent on what's going on in the world. Well, if things are going good in the world, then it's going to go good with me. No, we're not dependent on that. God can take care of us even when things are bad out in the world, even when financially it's a depression, a recession, even a famine. Now, I've faced some challenging times, I'm sure we all have, but I must honestly say I've never been in a famine. In my entire life, I've never been without food. I'm thankful to say I've always had food. Now, there's been times when I didn't have a lot of money, but I always had food. I've never been in a famine. Has anyone here ever lived in a famine? I don't think so. Right? Not in America. We could go over to Africa. We'll go to some places where they've had famine. I mean, there's no food. But the scripture says in Psalm 37, verse 18, day by day, the Lord watches the good deeds of the godly, and he prepares for them his forever reward. Even in times of disaster, he will watch over them, and they will always have more than enough no matter what happens. Say, thank God, I'll always have more than enough no matter what happens. The Living Bible says he cares for them when times are hard. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Even when there's a famine, we will have more than enough. So let me go back to 1 Kings and watch what happened here. So there's a famine in the land. Verse 2 says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's a major key right there for having provision. You got to do what God tells you to do. It says that he stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. Hamburger. Right? Bread and meat's a hamburger, isn't it? The ravens brought him hamburger in the morning, and they brought him hamburger in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. And so the word of the Lord came to Elijah again and said, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Because see, I have commanded a widow, say widow, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. The thing is that the widow didn't know it yet. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and then when he came into the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks. And he called out to her, and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a jar, in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. So in other words, this is their final meal. She's got no more food, no more flour after this. And so Elijah said to her, do not fear. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Say first. And bring it to me, and then afterward make some for yourself and your son. Now, why did Elijah tell this widow, first make me some bread? Because God could have sent Elijah to a rich person, but he didn't. Why did God send Elijah to a widow who was down to her last meal? Because God wanted to provide for the widow as well as for Elijah. Why did Elijah tell her, don't fear? Because fear would stop her from giving to God. Let me tell you, fear is the number one reason why people do not tithe, why people do not give to God. They are afraid that God won't meet their need. They are afraid that they won't have enough. And it is fear that holds people back from stepping out in faith and doing what God said. Amen. Move on from now. In verse 14, Elijah says to the widow, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth, until the famine's over. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to by Elijah. Now, how come her flour and oil didn't run out? Because God supernaturally multiplied it. Every time she used it, it kept multiplying. Every time she used the oil, it kept multiplying. And the Bible says it happened for many, many days until the famine was ended. God supernaturally multiplied that flour and that oil. Why? Because of what she did. She gave of the little that she had down to her last meal. She was willing to obey God and give to Elijah, make him the cake first. And that's when God multiplied it and took care of her and Elijah and her son until the famine was ended. Now, all this woman had to go on was the word of a stranger. She didn't know Elijah. He claimed to be a prophet of God. And I'm sure if the modern media were there, they would have told this woman, woman, can't you see that this preacher, he's trying to con you out of your last meal? Can't you see that? You know, it's amazing if you preach about God wants to prosper you, it's amazing the opposition that you get to that message. Have you ever wondered why there's such opposition to the preaching of the gospel that God wants to prosper you? Why is there such opposition? Because the enemy doesn't want us to prosper, because if he can keep Christians broke, then he can stop the gospel from going throughout the earth. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that the enemy inspires people to really oppose this kind of preaching. I don't know what Bible they're reading. I honestly don't know. They're obviously not reading the Bible. They're listening to somebody tell them what the Bible says. That's why you got to read the Bible for yourself. That's why everything I tell you, I give you scripture and verses out of, it's out of God's word. Now, what would have happened if this widow did not give Elijah that last meal? She and her son would have died. They would have starved to death. And God would have had to find another way to provide for Elijah, which he would have. But because this widow was willing to give her last meal to the prophet of God, all that she had, that's a great step of faith. God supernaturally provided for her and multiplied her. And that's what I want you to see, because the God that we serve is the same. He has not changed. He's still a God who can multiply. Amen? Say this. Say a drought, say a financial recession, a famine does not stop God from being God. One of the greatest secrets in 1 Kings chapter 17 is this. No matter what the world's economy is in, no matter who's in the government, the world's condition cannot limit your supply, because God is the source of our supply and He is unlimited. Amen. The only thing that can limit your supply is disobedience to God and a lack of faith. If you don't trust Him and you won't obey Him, you will limit what God wants to do in your life. And I encourage you, don't let fear stop you. Don't let unbelief stop you from receiving God's supernatural provision and supply in your life. Can you say amen? Because let me tell you, the Word of God works in good times. It works in bad times. No matter what comes in the future of America, I encourage you, never stop trusting God. Never stop obeying God. Never stop giving into the work of God. Just like that widow who gave her last meal, man. Because let me tell you, if you continue to give to the work of God, God will keep the windows of heaven open above you. He'll keep grace and favor flowing to you and financial provision. It'll just keep on coming, man. Amen. One of the greatest secrets to God's financial provision and prosperity is the law of seed time and harvest time. In Genesis 8, verse 22, it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." As long as the earth is here, how many of you know the earth is still here? You're going to have day and night and winter and summer, and seed time and harvest is a divine law that will always operate as long as the earth remains. It'll never cease. Jesus said that the entire kingdom of God works by the law of seed time and harvest. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God," He's going to tell us what the kingdom of God is like. "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So Jesus said the entire kingdom of God operates as if a man should scatter seed in the ground. Everything works by seed. The man scatters the seed. He then goes to sleep. The seed begins to grow. He doesn't know how. He doesn't have to understand how. The earth produces the harvest. Are you with me? The Living Bible says it like this. Let me read the same passage from the Living Bible. It says, "Here is another story illustrating what the kingdom of God is like. A farmer sowed his field and went away, and as the days went by, the seeds grew and grew without his help. For the soil made the seeds grow. First the leaf blade pushed through, and later the heads of wheat formed, and finally the full grain ripened, and then the farmer came at once with his sickle and harvested it." So the kingdom of God operates by seed time and harvest. Even God sent his son Jesus to the earth as a seed. God gave his son Jesus as a seed. Why? Because God wanted to reap a harvest of many sons and daughters. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 12, Jesus replied, verse 23, that the time had come for him to return to his glory in heaven, and that I must fall and die like a kernel of wheat that falls into the furrows of the earth. Unless I die, I will be alone, a single seed. But my death will produce many new wheat kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You and I are God's harvest. Jesus was the seed that he planted to bring the harvest. God used seed time and harvest to produce you and me. The Apostle Paul spoke about the law of seed time and harvest in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 6. I'm going to go back and forth between the New King James and the Passion Bible. I'm going to start out with the New King James. It says, he who sows, say sows, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The Passion Bible says it like this: a stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Now, I don't know about you, but I want abundant harvest. I don't really want meager. How about you? Verse 7 says, so let each one give. So that means sowing is giving. Giving is sowing. When I give to the work of God, I am sowing seed into the work of God. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, a cheerful sower. Giving is sowing. Say, giving is sowing. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace. So now we're talking about grace. To make all grace abound toward you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. The Passion Bible says, and I love this one, in the Passion Bible it says, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Can I tell you that's God's will for us? He wants you to have more than enough of everything in every way, in every moment. He wants you to overflow with abundance. That's what God wants for us. But you've got to get hold of the he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Verse 9 says, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given. So when I give, I am sowing. Because he has sown extravagantly, and the word extravagant means beyond what seems reasonable, it says his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. Verse 10 from the New King James says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, say God supplies seed to the sower. Notice that it says God supplies seed to those who will sow. And he supplies bread for food. It says he will supply and multiply the seed you have sown. So God provides you with the seed to sow. then when you sow that seed, when you give that finance, that money into the kingdom of God, you're sowing seed, and God said he will multiply the seed that you've sown. Say, God will multiply. God provides the seed, and then when you sow it, he multiplies it. It says, and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now, the Bible says God supplies seed to the sower. It doesn't say he supplies seed to the keeper. I've heard people say, well, Pastor Steve, so-and-so, I know they're a very generous giver, but it's because they can afford to do it. They've got money. No, the reason they've got money is because they're givers. See, God supplies seed to the sower. And then he multiplies the seed that you sow as you give. And God wants to bless all of his children financially, but very often God can't bless them like he wants to because his children will not do what he said. Let me read it from the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion, for when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. Now notice it says, you will be abundantly enriched as you give generously. It says God supplies seed to the sower, and then he multiplies the seed that we sow back to us. Say this, God multiplies the seed I sow into his kingdom. He multiplies it back to me. You see, the more you sow, the more you harvest. His grace abounds towards us. When we sow bountifully, then the Bible says we reap bountifully. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In due season I shall reap. In due season I shall reap. If I don't lose heart, in due season I shall reap. Don't lose heart. Tell your neighbor, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Don't faint. You're going to reap in due season. Your harvest is on the way. Let me tell you, the wisest man who ever lived and the richest man who ever lived was Solomon. And Solomon said this in Proverbs 11:24. Solomon wrote this. He said, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. The Living Bible says it like this. It is possible to give away and become richer. It's also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. The liberal man shall be rich. By watering others, he waters himself. And then if you read it from the New International Version, it says, the New International Version says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed themselves. So it's talking about scattering seed. One translation talks about giving, because it's the same thing. When you give into the work of God, you are scattering, you are sowing seed. And God is a God who multiplies what we sow, what we give. Only what is given away can multiply. Do not let fear and unbelief make you close your hand and hoard. Open your hands and watch what God does. There's three things you got to know about sowing. or about giving. Three things I want you to know. Number one, things multiply after their kind. That's what the scripture says in Genesis 1:11. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. So God made things to produce after their kind. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. You can't sow corn and reap wheat. If you sow money, you're going to reap money. Imagine a farmer standing out in his field in which he has sown no wheat seeds, and now he's frustrated because he's not harvesting. Imagine a farmer sowed seed for corn, and then he's disappointed he didn't get wheat. Well, if he wanted wheat, he had to sow the right kind of seed. Isn't that right? But let me tell you, a lot of Christians do this. They expect a harvest of something that they've never planted any seed for. Number two, second thing you've got to know about sowing is you reap after you sow. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, if you worry about the weather and don't plant seeds, you won't harvest a crop. If you worry about the weather and you don't plant seeds, you won't harvest a crop. Now, I know this may sound simple, but you cannot believe how many people I've heard tell me, Pastor Steve, one day when I have some money, I'm going to start giving. One day when I get money, I'm going to start giving. It's never going to happen. Because you cannot reap before you sow. Imagine a farmer standing in his field waiting for a harvest to come in when he never planted any seed. Imagine that farmer standing in his field. He didn't plant any seed and he says, I tell you what, once this crop comes up, I'm really going to start sowing. That's absurd. It's ridiculous. Yet I've heard believers say pretty much the same thing. If God will help me close this business deal, then I'm really going to start giving to the church. No, you need to start giving first, and then you'll see God begin to close some deals for you. Amen. Jesus said, the one who is faithful with little will be given more. You've got to start where you are. Ecclesiastes says, don't worry about the weather. That means you can't let the conditions around you stop you. You've got to trust and obey God no matter what. Isaac sowed during a famine, which makes no sense. In Genesis 26 verse 1, it says, a severe famine struck the land, as it happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. So Isaac's living amongst the Philistines. The Philistines are ungodly people. The Philistines are the enemy of Israel. That's where Isaac's living. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Now, Egypt represents to us the world system. God says, don't depend on the world system. Depend on me. Do what I'm going to tell you. Folks, we must not put our trust. If you're trusting the government to take care of you, you're in for a big disappointment. You need to trust God to take care of you. I do not trust the government to take care of me. I ain't looking to them. I'm trusting God. That's why it makes no difference to me. Well, I shouldn't say it makes no difference, but it doesn't affect me who's in government, because God is the one who takes care of me. Whether it's a Democrat or Republican, God's still going to take care of me. If you've got all your faith in the government, man, then every time, every 4 years, you're all shaken because your whole life depends on who's in the government. My life does not depend on that. God said to Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Do what I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. And I hereby confirm I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And it says what happened in verse 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Now remember, during a famine, there's no water. He sowed in that land and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. 100 times as much. And the Lord blessed him. And then the man began to prosper. And he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I pray that you begin to prosper. I pray that you continue prospering. And I pray that you become very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. The Philistines envied him. Now Isaac obeyed God and sowed during a famine and reaped 100-fold and became so prosperous that the Philistines envied him. You reap after you sow. Number three, third thing you've got to know about sowing is you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 38, for if you give, you will get. Say, if I give, I will get. So Jesus said, your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. So whatever you give, God's going to multiply much more back to you. You always reap more than you sow. When you give, God multiplies what you give, and you receive back far more than you gave. Amen? Another example of God multiplying, which I always love, is in John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. It says Jesus lifted up his eyes in John chapter 6, and he saw a great multitude coming toward him. And he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what was going to happen. But he's going to find out what Philip thinks. Where do you think we could go buy food for all these people? Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have just a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he said to him, there is a lad here. There is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? The little boy gave his lunch. He gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He gave it to Jesus. And Jesus said, make the people to sit down. And there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000 men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So Jesus takes the fish and the bread, he blesses it, prays over it, breaks it, gives it to the disciples. The disciples, they give it to the people. The people, as long as they're giving, it's flowing, it's multiplying. As the disciples are giving, it's multiplying. The people are distributing, it's multiplying. As long as they keep on giving, it keeps on multiplying. Are you with me? In fact, in Matthew's account, in the Gospel of Matthew, he recorded it in chapter 14. It says this, everyone ate until they were satisfied. For the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. They picked up the leftovers and filled 12 baskets full. It says, so when they were filled, He said to his disciples, gather up all the fragments that remain so that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten them. So notice, this little boy gives his lunch. Jesus breaks it, gives it to the disciples. The disciples give it to the people. It's multiplying. Everybody eats as much. They're full tummies. Oh, I can't eat another bite. And there's 12 baskets left over. How do you explain that one? You can explain that one. That's God. Now, who do you suppose got the 12 baskets of leftovers? Little boy. I can see him coming home. He's got people carrying all these baskets. Son, what happened? Well, you're never going to believe what happened. God will multiply when you give, what you give. That food multiplied as the disciples kept giving it. If the disciples had just eaten the food themselves, it would have stopped multiplying. They had to keep giving it away. And as they kept giving it away, it just kept on multiplying. If we want God's supernatural provision, if we want God's supernatural prosperity, we've got to do things God's way and not our way. Amen? And God works through this process. He works through the process of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. It's a divine law of God. Some people think that you should not give expecting to receive. That is ridiculous. I understand that our motive should not be selfish. We should not give with selfish motives, but you should give with expectation. When you plant, you expect to harvest. When you sow a seed, you expect to harvest. When you give, you should expect. I'm not saying that's the only reason you give, but you should expect God to do what He said, and He's going to multiply it back to you. You see, seed faith is giving what you have to create what you want. It's letting go of the seen to create the unseen. It's giving up the present to create the future. It's sowing something in expectation to produce something more. When you let go of what is in your hand, God will let go of what is in His hand. If you keep what you presently have, that's the most it will ever be. But when you sow it, it's the least it'll ever be. Are you with me? Releasing what you have is the only evidence of your faith that God will provide for you. The seed that I sow, it may leave my hand, but it doesn't leave my life. It enters my future where it multiplies. Whenever God talks to you about sowing a seed, you need to realize He's got a harvest in mind for you. He's got a harvest in mind. Now, Pam and Jerry shared a testimony with me just recently, last week or so. And I asked her to write it out for me. And I'm going to read her testimony. She said her and Jerry agreed that they were going to give X amount of money to this church. And this was something they were going to give. It was over and above their regular tithes. This was a special seed that they wanted to sow. And it was a significant amount. And so Jerry gave two checks 1 month apart. And it was 85% of what they promised the Lord they were going to give. And they forgot about the remaining balance. And Pam was listening to a sermon about the courts of heaven by Robert Henderson. And she was reminded of the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold a piece of land, and they agreed, and they made a public commitment that they were going to give this, all the money from the proceeds of the land, they were going to give it to the work of God. No one said they had to do that, but they decided to do it. But then they went back on their word, and they didn't do it. And they both fell down dead in church. They lied, and they fell down dead. That's in the New Testament. by the way. So Pam was reminded of that, and she immediately wrote out the check of the balance. She wrote it out, and she called, contacted Pastor Jill, and asked if they could meet, and they went out for lunch, I think, or they met, and Pam gave her that check, that which was the balance of the amount that they had agreed to give. Well, within 2 days of doing that, I want to show you how sowing and reaping works. Within 2 days of doing that, Pam contacted her financial advisor, and her financial advisor asked Pam what she had been doing since she retired from being a school teacher for many years, and she had taught her financial advisor, she taught his three children that were in her class, in her Bible club class, and she said to her financial advisor, she said, well, since I retired, I've been writing books, and I've been doing conferences, and I think you've written 4 books, is that right? 3 books, and doing conferences. And so he said, well, you need to meet my sister-in-law. And so Pam, he connected her with his sister-in-law. His sister-in-law has a ministry called Women World Leaders, and it's a ministry that encourages and serves women worldwide, and it empowers women through Christ into a life with purpose. And so one way that she does that is through, she invites women to write a chapter in her book for worldwide distribution. Now, this lady herself is a best-selling author, and so Pam was invited to write a chapter in the upcoming book, as well as another one that's coming out later in the year. Now, what an amazing way, you know, of a financial planner. Only God can do that. And Pam said she believes that this happened because the Holy Spirit reminded her that they had not fulfilled that agreement, that vow, that promise they made. And the moment that she did, God created a way. She said it would have, she wondered if that ever would have happened if she never wrote the check. In other words, that door that opened for her now to write a part, be a part of this book that goes around the world, that seed opened the door for that. Now, I was at Connect Group a couple of weeks ago, and Dave and Juju were telling their testimony how God gave them a house. And let me tell you how it happened. Now, remember, we're talking about God multiplies, seed time and harvest. So Dave and Juju, they made a pledge that they were going to give $10,000 to this church over and above their regular tithe, because they are faithful tithers. This was something over and above that. I didn't ask them to do that. They felt prompted in their heart. So let me tell you what happened once doing that. They said that, Dave wrote this out so well. You gave me 12 points. It's like a little sermon you gave me. I'm just going to follow it. It says, number one, their Connect group leader was a lady named Elizabeth. And God was instrumental in getting her a house. And the house that she got was in Port St. Lucie, so she moved up there. And she said that, you know, God had a house of blessing for whoever took over the leadership of the Connect group. So Dave and Juju stepped up, and they became the leaders of that Connect group for 3 years. Number two, they had a dream of owning a home, but they were unable to make progress, and they had been renting for 6 years. They really wanted to own their own home. Number three, something happened. They got a revelation. The Lord told them, or the Lord told Dave, to sow $10,000 into the house of God. And God said, if you'll sow $10,000 into my house, I'll take care of your house. And so they didn't hear this like audibly, just down in their spirit, in their heart, this was revealed to them. So Dave told his wife, Juju, and I'm reading your testimony to me, that he said that she thought about it for a minute, and she may have had a few doubts cross her mind, but then she got hold of it, and she agreed, and they got in agreement, and their venture in giving began. It says that it took them 2 years to fulfill that pledge. They didn't tell anybody about it, didn't tell us about it, they just kept doing it, And that every week they'd put a little bit extra toward that $10,000 pledge. They'd put $20 here, $50 there. They certain things that they were going to buy, they put off purchasing. We're not going to buy that because we want to fulfill our pledge. They were very intentional about it because they told the Lord that they would do it. So they took it seriously and they tracked every dollar in their spending and they made this a priority. Their finances kept improving and it was much easier, they said, to fulfill the second half of that $10,000 pledge than it was the first half. They felt God's hand in it, and as they neared the finish line, Juju felt the Lord saying to her, start the loan process. And it didn't make any sense because Dave had, you know, had was self-employed. He had started a new business. There wasn't much that would qualify them to get a loan, but they just obeyed and started the loan process in faith. They got qualified for a very modest loan. It looked like they would have to come up with a large down payment for anything to work. And just then, Juju, she got real resolute with her faith. She'd been praying and been believing God for a specific amount of money to take a trip with the family to go to India. And the money came in. They had the money for the trip, and then the trip had to be canceled because that's when COVID happened, and nobody was traveling anywhere. But God answered their prayer anyway, and they received the exact amount of money that they prayed for. It came from an unexpected source. And they were able to use that money instead of going on the trip. They used it as a down payment on their for their home. But once they tithed on that extra bonus that they had received, then they realized that they didn't have enough. So then they told the Lord, well, Lord, now we tithed on that money. Now we don't have enough. Within a week, they got a check for the exact amount of the tithe that they had paid to bring it back to where it was. Another amazing thing that happened is, the loan officer told them that he had miscalculated and they needed to show another $5,000 of income to qualify for the loan. So they went over their finances and they realized that a side job that Dave had done, the person never sent the 1099 form. And so they sent the 1099 form and that additional income was exactly $5,000. So they could qualify for the loan. Another amazing thing that happened is they made an investment in the stock market, and they didn't tell me what it was because some people might groan. But they invested $6,000 in a specific stock market, and within a few days, that $6,000 went to $12,000. So now they're getting the deposit together, but they still didn't have anywhere to buy. And finally, they asked their landlord if he would sell the place where they had been renting. And they'd been renting from him for 4 years. And the owner agreed to sell it at what seemed like to be a very modest price, considering that was just as the housing market was really booming in 2021. The housing market was really heating up. So the owner agreed not to even put the house on the market. He said, I'll sell it to you for this price, which was a very good price. They'd never even met the owner of the house. They never even met him. So now Dave said he wants to add that there was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of declaration that was going on during this whole process. They were trusting God, because at many points it looked like it was not going to happen. But they just kept on saying that God was giving us a house, that he had told us, and that he would do it. And they just kept on believing and trusting God. And God did it. They closed on their house. 2 years ago, they closed on the house. And in the first year after they closed on the house doubled in value. So in 1 year, Dave said God paid them back all the rent that they'd paid for 6 years. All that rent came back because the value of the home went up. So closing statement, Dave said, there was a time, that I'm quoting Dave now. Dave said there was a time when giving $100 was a stretch. Then there was a time when giving $1,000 was a stretch. And then there was a time when giving $10,000 was a stretch. But they did it in obedience to what they felt God was leading them to do. And every time they discovered that as soon as they made a decision to do what God was telling them, that God went about helping them to do it. And God blessed them many times over. And he changed their perspective about the amount. So what seemed like a lot before now doesn't seem like such a big number. And Dave said he's got a feeling that the next time God asked them to do something big, he's going to keep adding zeros. And I love this. Dave said it's nice to get blessed with houses and finance. But he said that being a part of building the church and answering God's voice is the biggest blessing in their life. So I want to encourage you with that today, that that miracle happened because of sowing and reaping. That's how that happened. Sowing and reaping. They were willing to step out and promise the Lord, we're going to give $10,000 above our tithe. And they just kept doing it. I'm sure they're glad they did now. Because their home, the value that they've gained in their home is way more than $10,000. It's probably $100,000, $200,000 that they've gained. See, that's God can do beyond what you can think or imagine. You just got to trust him and you just got to obey him. Amen. Do you receive this today? Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you. I want to close service, but I want to encourage you to determine that you are going to be a sower, that you are going to be a giver, that you are going to do whatever the Lord tells you to do. I'm not telling you to do anything. Well, you listen, if God tells you to give $10,000, I encourage you to obey him. If God tells you to, whatever he tells you to do, I encourage you to do what he's telling you to do, because let me tell you, God has a harvest that he has in mind for you. And I wouldn't want you to miss that. And the only way you see those kind of miracles happen is by being willing to obey God and trust him and do what he tells you to do. Can you say amen, somebody? We are going to give to the Lord. We're going to receive the offering. This is a good opportunity to put into practice everything that you just heard. Now we find out who believes it and who doesn't. All those shouting, amen, amen, amen. Now we're going to find out if you really believe it, because this is when you put it into practice. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. So put up for me the different ways that we can give. If you're watching this online, I encourage you, become a sower. Become a giver. Watch and see what the Lord will do for you. There's different ways of giving. You can give by PayPal. You can give by Cash App, by text giving. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. If you're sitting here today, there's a envelope in the seat back in front of you. You can give by check. You can give by card. You can give by cash. I want to encourage you to do whatever the Lord's put in your heart to do. Because somebody, God's going to use somebody to pay this mortgage on this building, $3 million. God's going to use somebody to do that. And I say, Lord, let that be me. Let that be me. Amen? Say this with me as we give. Make this declaration. I want to declare that confession, the tithe confession. Do you have that to put up on the screen? Do you have the tithe confession that you can put up on the screen? Because I'm looking at it over there. Do we have it over there? It's not on the screen over there? All right. Well, Father, I just thank you today, Lord. I thank you for every giver. I thank you for every tither in this church. I thank you, Lord, that you're the one who supplies seed to the sower. I thank you, Lord, that as we sow, you said that we will reap. You said as we sow generously, abundantly, we will reap an abundant harvest. Father, I thank you for doing financial miracles in people's lives. I thank you, Father, for giving people houses. I thank you, Father, for blessing their businesses, Father. I thank you for opening doors supernaturally. I thank you for pouring out your favor, pouring out your wisdom. I thank you, Father, for prospering us. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. I thank you, Father, you want us to prosper so the Philistines will become envious, Father, when they see the blessing of God and the goodness of God in our life. Father, it'll be a testimony unto you of your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing and prospering and opening the windows of heaven and pouring blessing upon every tither, every giver here this morning in Jesus' name. If you receive that, shout amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, ushers. I'm going to ask Abel, come up here real fast. I want you to tell us about the youth conference. We have had a couple of people have come forward and made some donations to be used to subsidize some of the young people. So if there's some young people that want to go on this conference and you just maybe don't have all the money, we can help you. If you come and talk to Abel or Michelle, we will help you. Tell us about the conference.
Good morning, church. So we have, like Pastor Steve said, the FIRE conference. We're about a month and a half away. It's July 19th through the 21st. It's a Wednesday through a Saturday. And if you guys haven't came and spoke to myself or Michelle about it, come find us. I'm either here or going to be out in the lobby. But we're going to extend the deadline until another week. There's some forms we need to fill out, registration, liability stuff. So next week we're going to be in the lobby with our laptops. So parents, if you've signed up, we've already had a few parents who've have a few kids that are coming to the conference. So make sure you're here next Sunday. We'll be filling that form out. And even today after the service, if you haven't came and spoke to me and you want your kids to come find myself or Michelle and just place the $100 deposit, because there's hotels. We have to lock in headcounts to make sure we have enough space for the kids there. But and if you have youth who are interested and don't go to this church, we've received donations for kids specifically, for friends who maybe don't know the Lord, because this is going to be not some your everyday church service. This is going to be a powerful encounter with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be moving. It's a FIRE conference because it's based off this verse, Acts 2:3, when the Holy Spirit came down in Acts and baptized, and the tongues of fire came over this. So this is really a life-changing time, and the Lord gave me the words FIRE conference when I was praying and asking for events. So I know it's going to be a God-ordained moment. And one moment, one service with the Holy Spirit can change their whole destiny of this child's life. So I just encourage you guys, come talk to me if you want to know more about it. Like I said, there's a $100 deposit just to lock in, and then $250 for the whole week. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I also want to mention to you that on Thursday night, we have prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. We call it prayer, but really there's so much that happens there. I really would say it's more like times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. There's such a presence of God. There's such a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. I really encourage you to come and join us on Thursday at prayer at 7 p.m. You know, the Bible says the early church, they were devoted to prayer. We need to be devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Amen. I also want to thank everyone who served today, all of our servant leaders, all of our volunteers. Thank you for serving in God's house. We so appreciate you. Stand up with me, everybody. Stand up with me. Look at that empty chair again. Say, I'm bringing someone to fill you next week. I'm bringing someone to sit there next week. Father, we thank you today that you are so good, Lord. We thank you that we have a covenant with you, and it's a covenant of blessing. We thank you that you're our covenant partner, that you are on our side. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to fear, that we are not subject to the conditions in the world around us. But Lord, you are our source. You are our provider. You are our God. And there's nothing too hard for you. I thank you, Lord, for financial miracles, financial breakthroughs, financial increase, Thank you for opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessing that we cannot even contain it. Thank you, Father, for bringing, for multiplying every seed that has been sown. Thank you for supernatural multiplication and harvest. And we give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll see you at prayer, everybody. God bless. We'll see you next week.